Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, it's great to have everybody here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church. And one of the things we do every single week is we welcome those who will be listening to our message online later on today. So let's give them a big hand and welcome them this morning. We greatly appreciate our production crew that makes that possible. In fact, I've talked to numerous people in the last 3 or 4 weeks that even though they're gone and vacation season and all that stuff is going on, they're able to stay caught up on what's going on. And so, production crew, we love you guys. You guys are amazing. They have a thankless job. No one ever knows that they're there unless something goes wrong. And so we appreciate our production crew. Well, today we're beginning a 4-week series entitled Flushed Away. Everybody say Flushed Away. I wonder how many of you in the room have ever wondered, where in the world does all my money go? Come on, let me see your hands if you've ever thought that, right? It's like somebody takes our check, drops it in the toilet and just pulls the lever and just poof, just like that. It's just gone. Or sometimes we think, as hard as I work, no matter how many raises I get, there just never seems to be enough. How many of you can relate to that? We think, well, man, when I get that next raise, then everything's going to be fine, only to discover that it's not. And so a few months ago, as I was praying, I felt God strongly lead me to do a financial series that would get extremely practical, different than the generosity series we typically do around Thanksgiving. So this morning, I want to start, and in your service guide, you all should have a sermon outline that looks like this. I want you to take it out, or you're going to kind of be lost at the beginning of this message. Go ahead and pull this out for me today. And I want to start this morning by doing a simple exercise, a quick assessment of your financial condition. Now, I want you to be honest because you're in church, all right? All right, don't be lying in church, all right, especially on a Sunday morning, but be honest. We're going to put the screens up. Now, I purposely didn't put the questions on here because that way if someone's looking over your shoulder, by the time we get 2 or 3 questions down, they're not going to remember what was said. But as we go through these, what I want you to do, if one of these statements applies to you, I want you to put a little check mark next to it. Does that make sense? All right, so you're going to have to pay attention. We're going to kind of go through this quickly here. But here we go. So each question that is true for you in your life, I want you to put a check mark by it. Here we go. Number one, I have little to no savings. Number two, I have no idea how much money is in my accounts right now. Number three, in the last 6 months, I have used a credit card to pay for necessities because I didn't have the cash. Number four, I avoid opening bills and credit card statements. I'll come to your kitchen table and look. Number five, I live paycheck to paycheck. Number six, in the last 6 months, I've made a big purchase on credit, telling myself I deserve it, I'll do it just this once. Number seven, I've paid off one debt with another form. Number eight, I've taken out a payday loan. Number nine, I'm only making the minimum payment on my credit card bills. Number 10, I'm not saving for retirement. Number 11, I ask and depend on family and or friends for money to help me out at tough times. Number 12, I don't know how much debt I have. Number 13, I make late payments on bills, or I have paid a checking or debit card overdraft fee in the last 6 months. Number 14, I borrowed money from my 401k to pay for monthly expenses. Number 15, I hide our financial situation from my spouse. Number 16, I've gotten turned down for a loan in the last 6 months. Number 17, I've done debt consolidation and then continued to use the paid off and open New Balance on my credit cards. Number 18, I have frequent fights about money with my spouse. Number 19, I misrepresent purchases to my spouse. Yeah, that's another series. We're not even going to touch that one there. Number 20, I think if I ignore it or if I get a raise, my financial problems will just go away. Number 21, I've begun to resent my spouse for their spending. Number 22, I tell myself debt is a way of life. There's nothing wrong with it. Number 23, I have not done a written budget in the last 6 months. And then number 24, I am not following God's financial plan, which is tithing and offerings. Now, I know that these 24 questions are sobering. I know that they're difficult. But really, all 24 of these are warning signs. Much like that pesky, how many of you have ever had a car where that check engine light goes on and then we just try to ignore it as long as we can? Come on, do we have any of those people in the room today? I remember hearing a story about a guy who said, I'll fix your check engine light. And so what he'd do when he brought his car over to his little garage shop is he'd take a little piece of black electrical tape and he'd cut it and then he'd tape it right over that sign, right? I mean, yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But these questions here, these are red flags signaling that you are currently in or you're headed towards financial ruin. And so if you look down at your sheet and see more than, I would say, four or more check marks, I really want to challenge you to commit to follow through the steps that we're going to teach throughout this series. Now there's a common misconception that exists in our society when it comes to money being discussed in church. I don't know if you've ever heard people say this, or maybe you've said it yourself. People will say things like, oh, here they go again. This is just another plea for the church to get my money. How many of you have ever heard people say something like that, right? And I want to tell you that that is one of the dumbest lies that the devil has ever told us. Let me prove it to you. The Bible clearly states in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and watch this, everything in it. Your bank account, your car, your house, your life, the earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. Somebody once, an old preacher once said that my father, speaking about God, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills that the cattle are on. And so listen, as we teach through this series, I want you to understand, I want you to know that I don't want anything from you. Hear my heart this morning. I want something for you. And so when it comes to the area of finances, this is what I want for you. I want you to live a stress-free life. I don't want you feeling the pressure that comes from being maxed out in debt and having the creditors call your home and your cell phone incessantly. I want you to be able to do the things that you love without worrying. I want you to have money left over in the bank at the end of each month. I want you to achieve all of your financial goals. I want you to be able to handle your finances in such a way that you are able to leave an impact on this world because of and by your generosity. I want you to leave this place. I want you to walk out of here this morning knowing that you don't have to live under all of the stress. We bought into a lie from the enemy that this is the way it's supposed to be, that we're supposed to live financially stressed. I want you to hear this morning that there is hope. There's hope. And this is what I know. The Bible speaks about money or uses money images about 800 times. Honestly, there is no other topic that I can teach on that is more relevant to your everyday life than this one. And our culture teaches so many concepts about finances that are simply not true. And in these worldly ideas, what happens is it leads to anxiety. They lead to depression, divorce, financial stress actually leads to a destruction in our bodies. It leads to health issues. The Wall Street Journal did a study. They reported that 70% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. In marriages that end in divorce within the first 7 years, listen to this, 90% said that money was the primary factor. And so while the outlook is grim, I want you to know that there is hope today. That God actually has a plan today in the area of finances. It's a fail-proof plan that works regardless of your income bracket, regardless of your field of employment. God's plan works every single time. The truth is that most people don't do very good with money. I want you to just pause for a moment. I want you to think about it. Of all the people you know in the world, how many of them are wealthy? 2? 3? Maybe 4? And I think you'd be very surprised at how many people in this room checked 4 or more of the questions that we just read a few minutes ago. Even though we live in the greatest country in the world, can I hear an amen, somebody? Even though we live in the greatest country in the world with almost unlimited opportunities, it's the norm to be maxed out in debt and to be living paycheck to paycheck. And so how do we begin to fix this issue? How can we turn the page and write a healthy new chapter when it comes to our finances? When you start studying what the scripture talks about as it relates to money, you'll discover that 80% of personal finance is actually tied to our behavior. And so the reason that the scriptures talk so much about money isn't because God's really concerned about money. As we just read, everything in the world and on the earth is his. But the reason he talks about it so much is because your heart is directly connected to your wallet. If I could see your banking statement for the last month, I could tell you what's most important in your life. It's your behavior patterns that cause your money problems. It's a cause and effect. It's a sowing and a reaping issue. And so when you sow stupid in the area of money, guess what? You reap destruction. Here's the next blank in your outline. It's your behavior that leads to your destination. It's your behavior that leads you to your destination. So if you don't like the destination you are at when it comes to your financial picture, you need to look out and you need to change your behavior. And so this morning, what I want to do is just lay a foundation for where we're going throughout this series. And I want to share 5 biblical principles regarding money. And in the upcoming weeks, we're going to study and teach on these, each of these in greater depth, but as we go through these, keep in mind that almost every one of these things that I'm going to share are contrary to what our modern culture teaches. This is why everybody is walking around, almost everybody's walking around and they're broke. And it's also important to understand that these 5 things don't happen overnight. They're not quick fixes. It's going to take some time. You can fall into debt pretty easily. You can fall into debt pretty quickly, but you can't fall out of it quickly. How many of you ever tried, right? Right. We need to learn to be patient. Hebrews 12, chapter 11 says this. It says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. How many of you remember when you were kids and you got disciplined by mom and dad? You're like, yeah, dad, whoop me, yeah. No. Thank God I got the whoopings I did, or I wouldn't be up here today. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest. Watch this. A peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So listen, if you are living without hope in the area of finance, discipline yourself. Discipline yourself so that you will have a peaceful harvest. If you'll take and if you'll commit these 5 biblical principles and if you'll do them over a period of time, I promise you that you will find the hope and the peace that you're looking for. You guys ready? Here's the first one. Number one, the first thing you need to do with money, number one, is create a written game plan. Create a written game plan. Well, what is a written game plan? Well, it's the oft misunderstood, and it's the dreaded B word, budget. I personally don't like that word. I'm just going to be honest. So I personally like to use, I like to think of it as a spending plan, as a spending plan. Jesus said it this way in Luke 14, starting in verse 28, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. Verse 30, they would say, there's the person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it. Listen, we must count the cost. We must create a plan and write it down. We need to start being purposeful, start telling our money where it should go. Dave Ramsey asked this question. It's a great question. In all of his teachings, if you ever heard him, he says it all the time. He says, if you worked for a company called You Incorporated, and you managed the money for You Incorporated the way you manage your personal finances, would you fire yourself? Most of us in this room would probably be fired. We all work at jobs where budgets are turned in, where there are targets for revenue, targets for expenses, and targets and goals for profit. And when it comes to business, everybody understands that that's the way it's supposed to work. It's common sense. If there aren't any projections or plans, guess what? The business won't be around long. You won't have a job very long. And here's the problem, though, is that most people don't bring that mindset home. They'll go to work and there's a plan. They'll go to work and there's meetings about the goals, but they don't have a personal plan. They live their personal financial lives watching the rearview mirror instead of looking ahead through the windshield. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but you know, they get to the end of the month and they go, man, I have 2 months left at the end of the money. What happens? I think we've all been there before. And listen, that doesn't work. We've got to learn to look forward. We've got to learn to use the windshield. Proverbs 29:18, a great verse of scripture, says, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. And so many of us are perishing in our finances because we have no vision, because we're not looking forward to a future. And that's really what a budget or a spending plan does. It's looking forward on paper on purpose before the month begins, before the money comes in. And so next week, we're going to give you some resources and teach you how to do this in great detail. But one of the positive things that will happen when you begin to work this written plan is that you'll notice all kinds of areas in your life that you really that really are wasteful. In fact, it's not uncommon for people who implement this written plan to come back after a couple of months and they'll start reporting like they feel like they've gotten, in some cases, a 5 to 10% raise just by creating a plan. How many of you would like a 10% raise today? Right, I think all of us would. So we've got to have a written plan. Here's the second thing you need to do. Number two, learn to act your wage. Learn to act your wage. I remember growing up, I don't know why I'm telling you this because it has no point, but I remember growing up on the kindergarten playground, they'd yell, act your age, not your underwear size. I don't even know what that means. But when I wrote this, when we went through this, it made me think of that, so maybe some of you can let me know what that means after service. But in other words, act your age. You have to learn to live on less than you make. Last I checked, we don't have any members of Congress attending our church. Okay, that's another message. Maybe that gets a little too close to home. You know, don't talk about politics. Listen, this is so simple, but it's so deep. You won't prosper if you spend more than you make. And so it's important that we keep in mind that our life is not a single image. It's not a single snapshot. It's not a single picture. Wherever you are right now, I want you to hear me. No matter how bad it is, maybe you're sitting here and everything's perfect and everything is good. No matter how bad it is or how good it is, guess what? It will change. It may get better. It may even get worse. But no matter what, the one constant is that your life is going to change. The truth of your life is more like a film strip than it is a single image. It's going to weave in and out. It's going to ebb and flow. It's going to get better and it's going to get worse. Your income is going to go up. And then all of us probably, if you've lived for any length of time, you'll go through seasons where your income is going to go down. And so no matter how bad it is, it's going to get better. And no matter how good it is, it's probably going to get worse. And so where you are today is not necessarily where you're going to be tomorrow. And so I want you to catch this. No matter what place you find yourself at today, you will get to a better place only to the extent you strategically plan and aim that way. And so it's essential, whether we're in a good season of plenty or we're in a dry, drought-filled season with lack, we must learn to act our wage. We must learn to live on less than we make today. Proverbs 21:20 says this, there is desirable treasure and olive oil, watch this, in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish person devours all he has. I want you to know this morning, I'm up here teaching. I've made every mistake that there is to make in finances. I'm not proud of this. There have been seasons of my life where I've devoured everything that I've received. By definition, biblically, I've been a fool. And so we need to commit to creating a written plan. We need to begin acting our wage. The third thing that we need to do, number three, is this, is we need to save money. Save money. Proverbs 13:11 says it this way, whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. There are three things that we should be saving for. You may want to just jot this down in your margin. The first one is for an emergency fund. It's for a rainy day fund. Listen, it's going to rain in your life. There are going to be unforeseen and unexpected emergencies that come up in your life. And you may say, well, Andrew, I came to church to be encouraged today. Can't you be more positive? Yes, I'm positive. It's going to rain in your life. So you got to be ready. If you have no debt, if you have a written plan, if you've got $20,000 in the bank and lose your job, it's a completely different scenario than being inundated with debt and no money and no money in your bank account and then losing your job. Completely different picture. And so the first thing that we need to do is we need to save for an emergency. And so we're going to teach on that in further details in the next few weeks. The second thing that you want to save for is to be able to pay cash for everything that you buy. How many of you remember that old statement, cash is king, right? You know, cash is king, right? I don't know if you ever noticed this, but when you spend actual cash, in fact, for some of us, it's been so long before we kind of started working through some of this stuff ourselves as a family. I hadn't had cash in my pocket, and I don't know how long, but guess what? When you spend actual cash for things, it really hurts. It hurts a little bit. You feel it when you spend cash. Actually, MIT did a study, and they hooked up MRIs, and this was actually published in Carnegie Mellon magazine, and they found that when you spend cash, it literally activates the pain centers of your brain. But interestingly enough, when you make a purchase, even the same amount of purchase with a credit or a debit card, nothing goes on in your brain. That actually makes more sense than we might think, right? So when you spend with cash, it hurts. And so because of that, when we start spending with cash, we'll actually spend less. And then the third thing we save for is for wealth building. Wealth building. Now, this is crazy. But the math shows that if you were to take $100 a month. In fact, before I get into this, how many of you are 30 years and younger? Any 30 years and younger here? Come on, let me see your hand. Wave them high and proud. All right. All right. I wish my hand was raised. All right. Listen to this. The math shows if you're 30 years and younger, that if you take $100 a month and you invest it from age 30 to age 70 into a decent growth stock mutual fund and a tax-free Roth RIA, that at the age of 70, there would be about $1,176,000 in that account. $100 a month. There's no excuse for, if you're under the age of 30, I wish somebody would have taught this to me, there's no excuse for you not to retire a millionaire. Now, some of you are probably sitting here and say, well, $100 a month, I don't have that kind of money to save. Okay, latte breath. I can smell some of you walking into church. I know you just drank like $9 worth on the way in, right? Or whatever your deal is, pizza boy, golfer, hunter, pedicure girl. Let me see who else I can offend here this morning. Most of us blow way more than $100 a month, and so invest it. God's word says that fools spend everything. Fools spend everything they make, while wise people save and they invest. So have a written plan. Act your wage by living on less than you make. Save and invest. Here's number four. Number four is get out of debt. Get out of debt. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Now I want you to know that going into this, that debt is not a salvation issue. You can still go to heaven and you can borrow money, but what I'm trying to do, my goal here this morning, is to teach you God's way of handling finances. Because so many of us are stressed out and we're full of hopelessness because we bought into this non-biblical view of money. And here's the truth. You can search this book. You can search the Bible from front to back, from back to front. Nowhere will you ever find where God has used debt to bless his people. Every time debt is mentioned, it has a negative connotation attached to it. You'll read things like, you're a slave, what we just looked at in Proverbs, or you're a fool if you lend money, or you're going to not have a brother that likes you anymore when you, come on, somebody here's lent money to a brother or sister and now you don't like them anymore, right? Right, it's a curse. And so when you eliminate debt and no longer have those payments, you don't have any other masters. You're your own boss. The scripture says the borrower is literally a slave to the lender. I want you to think about that. What our country has gone through to eliminate slavery, which was very wrong, but now we've stepped into another type of slavery. We can't even control our lives. And what we've learned is that you know, actually Jesus also said that no man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. It's hard to be a giver. It's hard to be a saver. It's hard to be there, men, for your family emotionally when you're distracted because you're so stressed out because you don't know how you're going to pay all the bills at the end of the month. Why? It's because the master is cracking his whip on our backs. We are slaves to the lender. In fact, it's no wonder they don't even try to hide it. It's called MasterCard. I mean, really, I want you to stop. And I want you to think about this. What would it feel like to have no payments? What would it feel like to have no credit card bills, no car payments, no house note? What would you feel like? Most of us in this room, we'd be free, right? We'd be just like a released slave. We'd be dancing and shouting, I'm debt free, right? We'd be excited. We'd come in and we'd be pumped up. I want you to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to imagine the way that you would feel. Picture writing your last check or your last online debt payment. Picture that. Picture what that would feel like. It feels good, right? It feels good. The resonation that you're feeling inside of you, it's the Holy Spirit's way of confirming to you that this is the truth. So once again, we're going to give you some tools. We're going to talk about this in the third week of our series. How do we find hope in our finances? Number one, we need to create a written game plan. Number two, we need to act our wage. We need to save. And finally, number four, we need to get out of debt. And here's the last one, number five. It's really the most fun of all. One word, it's give. It's give. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I remember as a child going to my grandparents' home on Christmas Day. I tried to count it up. There's 25 to 30 of us crammed in this tiny living room. We'd get there and there would be presents for I even tried to count this up, the 15 plus grandkids I know at different seasons, obviously, that grew and grew. From grandma and grandpa stacked neatly around the tree, my grandpa would have this chalkboard that he'd write the date and he'd have a picture, take a picture there. But every year, midway through the gift opening, we'd hear this loud jingling of bells and a ho, ho, ho. And every single year, in would walk a fully decked out Santa Claus with bags full of presents. We'd shriek with delight. We'd jump up and down. The room would get even louder, even more chaotic than it was before. Being the oldest grandchild, I eventually learned that the gifts that came from Santa Claus, a majority of them, I think most of them, were actually purchased by my Aunt Karen, who's actually here this morning. And so when I learned the secret, I'll never forget watching her every year. I remember one year I just watched her as the scene unfolded time and time again. And the look on her face was priceless as all of the grandkids would scream out in delight because of their new treasures. She had a smile that went from ear to ear. Aunt Karen had learned the blessing of giving. I don't know if I've ever told you, but thank you. Thank you. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. A couple of weeks ago in Atlanta at my pastor's coaching conference that I'm a part of, we had an opportunity. There were two pastors who were brought up who had been working two full-time jobs trying to make ends meet as well as pastor their church. And as the leaders of that meeting shared the need, shared the opportunity, God immediately spoke to me about what we should do. And so they finished presenting the need and they led this room full of 108 pastors in prayer. And as they prayed, tears streamed down my cheeks because I remember when we launched the Lifeway, what it was like to work 80 to 100 hours every single week trying to do two jobs. I remember the toll that it took on my body trying to be a good employee as well as build a church and be a good pastor and a good father and a good husband. And as I sat there, I was so grateful that we were able to be a part of meeting that need. But I want you to hear me this morning. We couldn't have done it if we didn't have a plan. As a church, we couldn't have done it if we spent more money than what came in, if we were saddled with debt, if we hadn't put money aside to be a blessing. Margaret Thatcher said it this way: no one would remember the Good Samaritan if he didn't have a coin. You can't help people. You can't help others if you're broken. So I want to challenge you to financially get in control of your life. Put yourself into a position to encounter the blessing that comes from giving, because that is truly living. In January of this year, God started dealing with my heart about getting our personal finances under control. And yes, we were tithing, and yes, we were giving, but if I'm being honest, I answered yes to a ton of those questions that we went through earlier. So Shyla and I, we enrolled in Financial Peace University Life Group, not as the facilitators, not as the leaders of the group, but my wife and I, we joined as members. In fact, Costanzo Venegas facilitated our class, did an exceptional job. And when we began Financial Peace University, we had no savings. We had a ton of debt. We were living paycheck to paycheck. We fit into the 70% of Americans. And even though Shyla's never complained, I carried guilt because I haven't been able to buy her the home that she deserves after being married for 20 plus years. I've carried guilt as a man because when everyone else was taking these amazing family vacations, we've stayed home every single summer. And this is why, because our financial picture was so bleak. We had made so many poor decisions. And in fact, when I looked at even the thought of owning a home, it seemed as impossible as winning the lottery. We enrolled in Financial Peace and we began to apply the things that I've shared today to our lives. We started doing a monthly zero-based budget or a monthly zero-based spending plan, and we've actually put in savings for an emergency fund. So we've got the start of our emergency fund going, and credit cards were cut up. And listen, in just 5 months, we've eliminated almost $8,000 of debts. You know how it is when the payroll kind of falls weird at the end of the month. There had been months where, I don't know how we're going to get groceries this week. But guess what? There's always enough money to cover the last days of the month. Listen, I'm sleeping better. I have peace about our financial picture. I have peace about our future. And so listen, no matter where you find yourself today, there's hope. There's hope. You can experience God's blessing and favor the same way that we have. And so as your pastor, I want you to look me in the eye. I am committed to doing everything that I can to help you and resource you in this journey to find financial freedom and peace and hope in your life. Because we can never be the church that God's called us to be until we get this under control. Some of us are so worried, sick about what's going to happen, and what if the car breaks down, and what if there is nothing set aside. Listen, God has a plan, and if you'll follow that plan, He will set you free, and He will make things go further than you ever thought possible when you are obedient to His word and to His way. So as you leave today in the foyer, I have a free book that I purchased for every family in this room here today. It's called The ABCs of Financial Freedom. And so here's what I want you to do. If you're married, I want you to take this. Both of you take this. I want you both to read it. Kind of looks kind of big, but it's not. There's a lot of stuff in the back. It's only 6 chapters long. It's a little over 100 pages of actual reading. So I want you to take it. I want you to read it. It's going to kind of underscore everything that we're teaching throughout this series. I want you to apply it. And I promise you, this will change your life. In the upcoming weeks of this series, we will have other tools that we're going to give you to help in this journey. In fact, on Monday, July 23rd, you can write it down, we'll be hosting a budget/debt snowball workshop where we're going to have people available to sit down with you, because some of you are so freaked out. Well, how do we do this spending plan? How do we even get control of this? I don't even know where to start. Sometimes it helps to have some clarity and a judgment-free zone, but we're going to sit down one-on-one with you, and we're going to work with you and help you get set up for that. We're going to have a sign-up available for that next week. And then in the fall, we're going to offer the full Financial Peace University course again. Listen, I don't care if your finances are in perfect condition. I think everyone in this church needs to go through Financial Peace University. It will change your life. It will change the way you view money. This series that we're doing actually covers just a few of the core principles. So I encourage you when that comes around in the fall to be a part of it. But here's the bottom line with all of this. I know some of what you're going to read and budgets and all this stuff, and man, it's hard. Let me ask you this question. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? If you're one of the ones that was like me, one of the 70% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, what do you have to lose? If you're struggling in this area, if the warning lights are blinking, it's obvious that your way and that your plan and the way that you were taught growing up isn't working. And so I encourage you, make the most of it. Go all in. Experience freedom. Here's why this is all so important. Proverbs 13:22, the last verse I'm going to share with you this morning. It says, a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And here's what I know, because I've been in life groups with a lot of you. I've talked to a lot of you before and after services. This room right here is filled with good people. This room right here is filled with people who truly desire to be generous. This room is filled with people who want to leave a legacy, who want their life to outlive them, who want to leave an inheritance. But we feel bad. We're not able to give like we want. We're not able to make a difference like we want because we bought into this consumeristic ideology and we're strapped, we're maxed out in debt and we're stressed out. We've tried to fill the void with things. We've traded what brings true happiness for temporary, fleeting pleasures. I want you to know that God wants to set you free. God wants to let you live free. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I ask that no one move around in the auditorium. Right now, the Spirit of God is gently convicting some of you. Some of you, you know right now that this message is for you. You know that you need to make some changes in your life. Still, there are others in this room. Maybe the first change that you need to make is to give your life completely and wholly to Jesus Christ. Give control of your life to Him. Some of you need to repent. Some of you need to say sorry for some of the things that you've done. So if you say, you know what, Andrew, I'm ready to make that decision. I'm ready to take that step. I'm tired of carrying my own sin, and I'm ready to commit everything to Jesus. If that's where you are, I want to pray for you. If you're ready to follow Him, if you're ready to give Him all, without hesitation, why don't you just lift your hands? Can I pray for you? Thank you. Is there anyone? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand there in the back. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, I thank you for those maybe who raised their hand and they're not in a right place with you. And so, Lord God, before we go any further, Lord, I give my life, I give my heart to you. Take it all. Take control. I ask you to be the Lord. Lord, I know that just by the law of numbers that there are many, many people under the sound of my voice this morning who are stressed out. They're tired. And they paint on a smile on Sunday mornings and they come to church. But their financial life is in ruins. It's falling apart. So many poor choices have been made. But God, you have a plan. And so, Lord, I pray that every single person under the sound of my voice, that they walk out of here today knowing that this doesn't have to be the way things always are. Right now, Lord, we repent of our consumerism. Lord, we repent for seeking things to fill the void in our heart that only you were meant to fill. God, today I repent for making money a God in my life. And so, Lord Jesus, right now today, Lord, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that many people in this room right now, Lord Jesus, would say, Lord, I give it to you. I've tried my way and it doesn't work. It's brought heartache and pain and shame and failure. It's hurt my marriage. It's hurt my relationships. Lord, I'm tired of doing it my way. Right now, Jesus, I give you control. Somebody needs to say that, Lord, in this area, I give you control. I give you control. I'm sorry for the other idols that I've set up in my life. Lord, I pray right now I tear them down. And Lord God, I thank you that at the point of our weakness, it's there you become strong. at the point of our weakness, it's there then your strength can be revealed. And so, Lord God, I pray that as people in this room begin to follow your plan, that you would come in, that you, like you always do, and that you would touch, and that you would multiply, and that you would perform the miraculous. Lord God, I believe 6 months from now, we're going to hear incredible stories of people in this room who have been completely set free, and the bondage and the slavery of debt and financial debt will be broken. And then we can be about the business that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.